question was asked, if a person is approached by a missionary, what should they tell them? So in Mishlei, we have repeated advice from Shlomo HaMelech about missionaries, because this is an age-old problem that the Christians try to trick Jews into leaving their faith. And so Shlomo HaMelech repeatedly speaks about this problem. He speaks about tahapuchot bilibo. He has all kinds of tricks in his heart. And Chazal warned us that they will try, through innocent tactics, through smiles, through misquotes, through partial quotes, to confuse a person. And a person is not always ready with the Tanakh. A person has not necessarily learned the sections that are relevant. And so a person is not equipped to deal with the onslaught of dishonest aberrations of the text that they will present them with. And so Chazal recommended, even for learned people, avoid them. They're coming to you with dishonest tactics and dishonest information, and your ability to counter that is not such a given. I can give you an example of that happened last week, but I don't think it's so necessary. But I'm saying that I've had repeated times where missionaries started with me, and it's taught me certain things, such as one of the questions when they start with me today, even though I try to avoid it, but there are circumstances where I see them starting with other people, and then I feel that there definitely are circumstances where I have to stand up and say something. And one of the things I've said to them is, have you ever seen the real text? You're arguing with me based on a translation of someone who didn't translate correctly? You don't even know what the Tanakh says. What are you arguing with me for? In truth, I've had numerous occasions to see that they really don't know what it says. They quote things that aren't even written, and innocently. Meaning, if there are those that are deceitful and cunning, and they try to persuade people with dishonest claims, there are many, many today who really don't know what it says. They think what they're saying is what it says. They've never seen the real text. They're studying translations which they think prove their case. And I always tell them, why don't you study the real text and you tell me if there's any validity to your argument? You're telling me it says in Tanakh. Open the Tanakh. You don't even know what it says. You're arguing with me that it says in the Tanakh. It does not say what you're telling me it says. And that really ends the argument. And that's a real argument. It's intellectual. It's true. It's valid. And I still recommend you walk away from the argument, because there will be one or two who will start quoting you texts in Hebrew, and in all honesty, you haven't yet studied the text. You won't necessarily have answers for them. So instead of getting entangled in their arguments and in things that are fallacious and tedious and tiring and dangerous, at the end of the day, a person can walk away confused. Chazal always recommended, don't enter it. Even Nachmanides, that you guys quoted earlier, who debated, he says at the onset of his debate that he had no choice. Nachmanides begins the quote of the debate that he wrote down with the following story. He brings the story from the Talmud that the five students of Yeshu were taken to court. And when they were brought to court, so each one had a funny name. Each one had a name that was a word in the verse. And each one said, my name, it says in the verse, won't die. And so the courts answered him with a verse that quotes his name and says, will die, and then executed him. And each one of the five students, it says over there, said, my name is, and then quoted a verse and said, you see, based on this verse, I'm not supposed to die. And the rabbis quoted an alternate verse where it says the same name will die, and executed every one of them. So Ramban says, it says over there in the commentaries on that line of Talmud, this is a very silly thing. If a person is caught doing a crime, they'll quote a verse that says their name and say, you see, in this verse it says I shouldn't die, so you, the court, shouldn't kill me. Where do we ever find that a court even accepts such an argument? Why did the courts have to give him back a rebuttal? And so Ramban says, it says in the commentaries there, Ramban quotes, that these people, these five, had political clout. And the government was overseeing their court case. And so when the courts came to judge them, it wasn't enough that there was valid proof that they were deserved of the death penalty. The rabbis had to answer the government. So even though these people gave nonsensical proofs, but the rabbis felt, I can't let them be executed without answering those proofs. If they're quoting me verses from the Tanakh, I can't let them be executed as though I'm disregarding the Tanakh. I have to show how from the Tanakh itself it says they have to be executed. Not because their claims have validity, but because the government is looking. So too says the Ramban. I have this argument not because there's validity to the claims against me, but because the king is looking here and I have to answer him. In terms of validity, there's no validity to any of the claims they're presenting. But I have no choice. The king is forcing me into this debate. That's how the Ramban opens the debate. So his quote of the debate, I mean, he's the one that wrote it down. That's how he begins the redaction of the debate. So the general rule is we're not looking to argue with them. We're not looking to fight with them. They should leave us alone. We'll leave them alone. We're not fighting them.